All right.
Thank you.
So as our recording's going, I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Shay, would you do a roll call for us, please?
Yes, sir. Michael Dobb. Peggy.
Present.
Thank you. Brian Kirkland.
Jason Simpson for Brian Kirkland.
Thank you, sir. Eddie Cook.
Here.
Thank you. Jeffrey Fleetham.
Here.
Thank you, sir. Doug Lane.
Here.
Thank you, sir. David Byers. Kim Romer.
Good afternoon, Shay. I'm here.
Thank you, sir. Lev Gornick. J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Thank you, sir. Representative Nguyen. Senator Rick Gray. Richard Stevnick.
Rebecca Pereira here for Richard.
Welcome, ma'am. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you, Shay. I want to go ahead and remind folks that this is a public meeting and the agenda has been posted. We do provide a link there. If you have a comment, we will accept public comments and the team will review and disposition those for response. Without any further ado, I'll go ahead and move to our agenda. And get the next slide up. All right, so first thing, order of business will be approval of our August 18th recording as our minutes from our last meeting. Anyone have a motion on that or any questions on that?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Doug. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Fleetham. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, thank you very much. We will go ahead and move on to our next item on the agenda. First item is, I believe, Department of Environmental Quality. This is a new project, well, not a continuation of a project, I should say, but the next set of applications that they are doing in their MyDEQ environment. And I'll turn it over to the engagement manager for this one.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jacob Crimmins. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. The Arizona Department of Environmental Quality is seeking ITAC approval to continue their multi-year strategy of migrating all citizen and regulated community services online. To date, ADEQ has automated 88 online services and 50% of their service catalog. With the MyDEQ FY 2022 project, ADEQ proposes to continue this effort. At this time, I will hand it over to the DEQ project team, who will introduce themselves, present additional information regarding the proposed project, and then answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. My name is Sudhakar Raga. I'm a deputy CIO at Arizona Department of Environmental Quality.
And Gary Heller, the Chief Information Officer at ADEQ. Good afternoon. Go ahead, Sudhakar.
All right. Can we move to the next slide, please? So, I can give you a little bit of a background about our initiative. We've been coming in front of ITAC for the past few years. Up until 2014, almost all the permits and the compliance report submissions used to be coming in paper. Just the picture actually shows, you know, how it was. We were inundated actually with paper, and permit lead times, some of the key performance measures for our agency were suffering. Permit lead time was running in months. Facilities were out of compliance status for months. And most of our staff members were keying in the data that is coming in as paper into our databases, rather than spending time assisting the businesses out of the compliance or doing the inspections or proactively planning the permits. That was actually the gist of the problem. Next slide. So in 2013 and 14, we started a planning exercise for moving these services online. We have taken a little bit of a different approach than other initiatives that you've seen across the state. Instead of doing a massive initiative that runs multiple years and costs tens of millions of dollars, what we said is, let's build let's approach this as a service catalog, build a foundation, a technical foundation for it, and then start actually bringing these services online every year increment. And we come in front of the ITAC for a one fiscal year, proposing a limited scope, and we plan to finish that or we plan to bring those services online by the end of the fiscal year. And every year we have continued to do so. And every year when we come here, we show you the progress we have made thus far and request the approvals based actually on the track record. When we did this planning exercise back in 2012-13, we found out that there are around 147 services that could benefit from, you know, becoming online. And we have engaged the businesses and businesses across Arizona to prioritize these 147 services, trying to figure out where actually it really makes sense, where there is a return of investment. So as of June 2021, which is 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we have implemented around 88 services online. That's roughly 55% of all the services that we have. Sorry, that's 50% of all the services that we have. And this year we plan to bring additional 5 services online. That's the reason why we're coming in front of you. Next slide, please. So before actually we talk more about the project in fiscal year 22, some of the progress that we have made so far is our key performance measures have really improved. As an example, one of the general permit, the air general permit that used to take around 89 days to issue a permit, or what we call as a permit lead time, is now a same day permit. Essentially, they can apply for the permit. It takes barely 15, 20 minutes if there are no exceptions for them to get the approval. If there are exceptions, it's pretty much by the end of the day, we respond to actually that permit request and we issue it. Most of the permits are almost same day. We have around 17,000 plus facilities that are already using MyDEQ. So some of these facilities may be using the new services that will bring online, but we'll probably also bring new additional facilities online when we develop these 5 services in this year. Next slide. Again, to just continue tracking actually the progress, in fiscal year 20, we had around 5,000 plus companies registered into MyDEQ application. And some of those, there may be multiple users from the same company. So we have around 7,500 odd active users on the application at any given point. We call them active if they log in at least once a week. Either actually they submit a new permit application, they maintain an existing permit, or they submit compliance reports. That's how we track them as active users of the application. We had roughly 42,000 transactions performed in fiscal year 20. 20 was actually our are break-even year. Essentially, 50% of all the transactions were more than 50, in fact, are coming online. So now we are seeing much less paper than before, or more online than paper. We've also started receiving payments online. The number that you're seeing is $4 million was last fiscal year, but we are seeing it's trending up. It's also influenced by the pandemic. Now we're seeing more and more businesses trying to pay online, trying to get their permits online. So EPA has a calculator that they build to calculate the return on investment. Essentially, how they're doing this is they're estimating the gains in the economic activity when we reduce the processing times of the permits or the lead times on the permits. So with the using that calculator, when we estimated the economic benefit of the state of Arizona, it was roughly around $154 million as of fiscal year 20. It didn't count the services that we implemented in 21. With that counted, it will be more. Next slide, please. As we continued developing MyDEQ application, we've also been recognized both within the state as well as nationally. So these are some of the recognitions that we have received over the past few years. We've consistently been recognized in the past, you know, since 2018, 18, 19, 20. There are a few other applications within ADEQ that have received national recognition, but they are not specific to MyDEQ. Next slide, please. So now coming to this fiscal year, the way we execute this project is we have not completely outsourced MyDEQ development to any contractor. Project management is completely handled by the agency. But we do have contractors, and we use them for doing the coding, which is actually the code builder development, as well as testing the applications. So it's a shared development mostly, but the project management and design are handled within the agency. And we use contractors significantly for coding level and coding and testing. Next slide, please. I apologize if you can't see the project timeline. Putting this on a PowerPoint or actually a Google presentation, and then actually showing on a small screen, makes it actually very difficult to follow. But what we are trying to do show is these are the different milestones for these initiatives for the for MyDEQ in fiscal year 22 and how we plan to implement them. Usually when we come in front of you and say we are going to develop 5 services in fiscal year 22, it doesn't mean we'll implement them on June 30th of 2022. We tend to implement them whenever we can. We usually stagger them across the year. And the moment we implement them, the businesses of Arizona, they immediately come on board and start using it. Our adoption rate is really high. For the services that we've implemented online so far, adoption is almost 90%. And for the services that are mandated to be online, obviously it is 100%. So this shows the timeline, but if this is not visible, if you would like a condensed version of it, I can send it after the ICAP meeting. Next slide, please. For the 5 new services that we intend to develop, our cost that we've estimated is roughly around $1.46 million. And most of the funding that you are going to, that if you approve today, will go towards the professional outsourced services for the contractors that we utilize for coding and testing. Next slide. How we measure the success is again the same that we've been doing in the past few years. We plan to bring, we believe that we are going to bring more facilities online onto MightyEQ. Anytime a new facility comes on board, they tend to use MightyEQ for all of the services that are there. They just completely go away from paper. So that's a good thing that new facilities are coming on board the MightyEQ platform. And the greater community, they'll see a significant improvement in the turnaround time, whether it is a permit issuance or a compliance submission. If it is a permit issuance, unless there is a human interface or a human touch point, it is saying that if it is a human touch point, we have the responses going out either the same day or the very next day. Roughly, we set ourselves a target of 80% improvement in the turnaround time, but we obviously see close to 99% on the permit issuance and around 90% on the compliance submissions. For these five services, again using the EPA calculator that calculates the benefit to the state or the economic impact to the state or the economic activity, we believe it's going to be around 2.2 annual economic gains that we're going to see. As far as the staff is concerned, again, for these services, for these five services that's going to come online, the staff will completely move away from data entry and they'll be spending more time on either permit planning or assisting businesses to come out of the compliance issues or inspections on the field. Next slide, please. That's the end of the presentations. Any questions for me, please?
Okay, we'll open up to the committee for any questions with regards to the project. If there are no questions, I will accept a motion. I shall turn it back over to Jacob to talk us through the any conditions, and then we'll proceed to a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Excuse me, ASSET is recommending the project be approved with the following standard conditions. Should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology scope of work or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the PIDGE to reflect the changes and submit it to ADOA ASSET and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Number two, monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOA ASSET no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project, and failure to comply with timely status reporting will affect the overall project health. The first status report for this project is due on October 15th, 2021.
All right, thank you, Jacob. Okay, members of the committee, any questions on the standard conditions or comments? If not, we do have a slide up. I just want to draw your attention to it as a reminder. We do these for each item that we vote on. Just on the left-hand side, the criteria that we are to consider as we review a project, and then on the right-hand side, our options for how we can proceed forward. So giving you a moment to review that, but I will take a motion with regards to the project.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve with conditions as presented.
Thank you, Mr. Simpson. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Fleeta. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Sudhakar and Gary. Congratulations on the success so far with the platform and the services, and best wishes for continued success.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Thank you.
All right, we will go ahead and move forward to our next item, which is a change request. This is coming from the Office of Economic Opportunity.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Haley Greenberg. I am an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Office of Economic Opportunity, who will introduce themselves now, followed by a brief overview of the project.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Vignesh Sukumaran. I'm the project lead for the Integrated Data System. And I'm the only one here from OEO.
Thanks, Vignesh. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on December 16th, 2020, the Arizona Office of Economic Opportunity, or OEO, was presented to and approved by ITAC for their integrated data system to combine administrative data from various state agencies and educational institutes with the purpose of assessing the impact of those organizations over the lives of Arizonans over time. On May 19th, 2021, an extended phase was presented to and approved by ITAC. During this time, the Office of Economic Opportunity worked with Asset, Google, and SHI to start a migration of the system to a new tenant once it was discovered that the original marketplace was not available for government use and didn't allow OEO to enable enterprise security tools required to meet ASRAM requirements. Because the migration to a new tenant required reconfiguration and other changes to the system, OEO had to restart the process of providing evidence of security control implementation to their independent assessor. Based on a more current assessment of development and collaboration tasks, the revised development schedule extends to March of 2022. ASSET is recommending that the change request be approved with the conditions, which we can review after the presentation. I will turn this over to Vignesh to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions you may have.
Thanks, Haley. Next slide, please. If we could skip this one too. Thank you. So just to introduce the project, I think Haley covered most of it. On December 7th of last year, ADOA ASSET approved the original project investment justification to implement an integrated data system that we abbreviate to IDS. Pursuant to the requirements in the state statutes, the office is developing an IDS to link administrative data from educational institutions and workforce programs in a highly protective privacy, legal, and technological environment. So this particular phase, we're bringing in student records from the two largest community college districts, Maricopa and Pima, as well as adult education data from ADE, workforce development data from DES, unemployment insurance data enhanced by OEO to establish the platform. And this is all to facilitate program evaluation, continuous improvement, policy relevant research, cost benefit analyses, et cetera. So strictly statistical purposes, the original pitch spanned 6 months and had a development cost of $1.3 million. Next slide, please. So what in the pitch is changing? I'm here to request ITAC approve an extension to the timeline to March 31st, 2022. There's no change in scope. The functional requirements are still the same. It's a no-cost extension. The budget also remains the same. What initiated this change? So as we started development earlier this year and went through the discovery phase, we found a few things that created unplanned delays. We discovered that the statewide GCP tenant lacks the enterprise security tools needed to satisfy AZRAMP requirements. I think the committee members are probably aware and are familiar with AZRAMP as well as the concept behind the way GCP is set up on Google Cloud. But I'll take a few minutes here to describe those two terms. So first with the AZRAMP, the IDS is going to be processing confidential information, large quantities of them. And this also includes personal identifiers that are going to be used for matching records on data subjects across the programs. So per state policy, such a system is categorized as a protected system. And all protected systems need to implement 325 NIST security controls and certain enhancements and guidelines that Arizona provides, The whole thing is wrapped up into what we refer to as the easy ramp requirement. So moving on to the second topic, GCP tenant. Tenant is a term that I use loosely to describe the presence or the domain that a particular organization, so it defines both ownership and the space that we occupy in Google Cloud. On Google Cloud, resources like storage buckets used for files, virtual machines, et cetera, are organized hierarchically in containers. This is very similar to the directory structure or file system that you see on a Windows PC or a Mac. And the top-level container in Google Cloud is called an organization. This is identified by a domain name, just like you would find in a URL. And under this top-level container are folders. And optionally, you could also have nested folders or subfolders. And under these folders, you have projects. These fundamental resources, like virtual machines, are in these projects. This hierarchy helps with access control and configuration settings, among other things. The state systems are on Google Cloud. The state systems that are on Google Cloud are in a central location under the asset managed domain or organization. And so the asset admin set up folders for each of the agencies. So you have a folder for DES, for DHS, and one was set up for OEO to carry out this project, which is where we started development. And sometime in April, we discovered that a number of security functions, like for example, vulnerability scanning, threat detection, asset inventory, et cetera, can't be done using what tools were available then. We had to switch on certain enterprise tools from Google at the organization level in the hierarchy. So for legal reasons, Google denied our request to turn on these enterprise security services at the folder level or at the project level, which is what we have access to. And you can imagine that if the capability to scan a monitor was made available at the organization level, a security admin in OEO could potentially have visibility into other agency systems. So the only solution that we had was to move to a separate independent domain that would contain only OEO systems. So we spent about 2 months. We started, I think it was the 30th of April that we got the green light from ASSET to move forward with this migration. And it took a month for our cloud reseller SHI to spin up an independent GCP tenant for OEO. And then Google Tech took another extra month to activate the enterprise security tools in the new tenant. And then we eventually migrated the prototype that we had developed in the new tenant, in the old tenant, to the new tenant. And all the security control assessment that we had done in the previous space had to be repeated. So we had to restart all of that, although we were 2/3 complete in the previous tenant. Next slide, please. This is a pretty busy slide, I apologize. It's the revised timeline for the solution. Everything that's in green are elements that we have completed, and everything that is currently being worked on is in blue. The team has used synthetic data. Spring ML is the vendor who's working on it, and Active Cyber is the cybersecurity company that's doing the assessment. So we're getting ready to authorize the system. We have just a few more security controls to implement and assess, after which we would authorize the system to receive live production data from our data partners to continue the development. And as you can see, the rest of the timeline is in black. All of the tasks and milestones are in black, leading all the way up to the end of March. Next slide, please. So as mentioned earlier, the original project costs are the same. And that is all I have.
All right, thanks, Vignesh. Any questions from the committee members on the change request?
Mr. Chair, I have one.
Yes, go ahead, Eddie.
So explain to me one more time. I was trying to follow your discussion with the previous architecture. You discovered something related to an issue in compliance with security or some type of security risk. Can you explain to me what, again, was the issue that you guys discovered again?
Yeah, absolutely, Mr. Cook. So as I had mentioned, this being a protected system with large volumes of personally identifiable information coming through, we have certain state requirements to meet. The NIST 325 security controls are required of federal agencies, and we have a slightly enhanced version of it that is required per policy. So when we went through to implement all of these different security controls, and it covers families like access control, risk assessment, media protection, et cetera. And as we were going through all of that, we discovered that certain things could be done only with enterprise tools. And those enterprise tools are available at the higher level of the hierarchy. And as I had mentioned, if we were to get access to those tools, if Google was agreeable to turning on those tools at that level, then not only would I have visibility on the entire system, but I would also be able to look at DHS applications and DES applications. So, which is the reason why we had to move to a new tenant, activate or enable those tools with Google's help, and then satisfy the security control requirements.
Okay, so obviously the state uses Google today, and I'm assuming the state probably uses this higher level of tenant today. Is that correct? In other like maybe agencies that might be using Google. Is that a correct statement?
I believe so.
David, Eddie, and I think I'll jump in here. This really comes down to the way that system administration is performed within the Google environment. And Vignesh is right that there's two parts to Google, right? There's the workspace, which is the productivity suite, and related in that same tenant can be access to GCP. And while the initial deployment was attempted to see if we could do it within the statewide tenant, same one as we use for workspace, in order to meet the security and compliance requirements, it was determined it was needed for them to set up like he said, a separate domain. And what that does is it provides them exclusive administrative access and control over that. And that's really the separation that's happening there.
Sure.
Good question for you.
And does the state have other agencies that use this level of security and yes. So forth? Okay.
Yeah. As appropriate, other use cases for the state may have deployed similar to what OEO is proposing here. And then those that have a lower requirements and don't require the same level of administrative separation or are dealing with less sensitive data can go into the,
yep.
The
main cabinet. Yeah, I was just asking again if we've had other agencies that may be using the same kind of technology. That really was my question, and that satisfies my question. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Eddie. Any other questions? All right, I'll turn it back over to you, Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. ASSET is recommending that the change request be approved with the following conditions. One, should expenses exceed the estimated cost by 10% or more, should there be significant changes to the proposed technology scope of work or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the pitch to reflect the changes and submit it to ADOA ASSET for review and approval by ITAC prior to further expenditure of funds. Two, monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOA ASSET no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project. Failure to comply with timely project status reporting will affect the overall project health. And three, prior to the creation of any additional projects within the same GCP instance not currently expressed within OEO's 21001 PIDGE, the Office of Economic Opportunity shall submit the appropriate documentation to ADOA ASSET for review and approval.
All right, Thanks, Haley. Any questions or comments on those conditions? If there are none, I'll take a motion with regard to the project.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, this is Jaggi. I'll second.
Thank you, Jaggi. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, thank you. Vignesh, proceed forward. You got a unanimous approval here. I'm excited to see the integrated data store come to fruition.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members.
All right. Last voting item on our agenda today is the change request with regard to the Guardian system. And is that you, Jake?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jacob Crimmins. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. The Department of Child Safety is seeking approval of a change request to amend the project end date of their child replacement project from 6/30/2021 to 12/31/2021. And this is in order to complete the decommissioning of their legacy child system and to complete the 72 report scope for development as part of this original project. At this time, I will hand it over to the Department of Child Safety team, who will introduce themselves, present the change requests, and then answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Jacob. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. My name is James Dean. I'm the IT PMO manager for the Department of Child Safety. I will let Matt Grant introduce himself as well as another new person here today. So Matt, if you want to introduce yourself and the new special guest.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Matthew Grant. I'm the deputy CIO for Arizona Child Safety. And we have a new CIO who's joining us today, Quan Mitchell. He joined us last week on it, so we're happy to have him on board.
Yes, thanks for having me. Again, Quan Mitchell, the new CIO, just started last week. So looking forward to having more of these meetings.
All right. Welcome, Quan. Glad to have you with us. I look forward to our upcoming meeting as well.
Yes, sure thing.
All right.
And I believe we also have Robert Navarro on the line as well from the Department of Child Safety. If you'd like to say hello, Robert.
Mr. Chair, committee, Robert Navarro, Deputy Director of Support Services for Child Safety.
All right, then I think that is our group of people here today. So if you want to go to the next slide. So we are here for a change request approval, but we'll go real quickly through kind of the current status of the program. If there's any questions, we can answer them, and then we'll get right to the change request. One of the reasons why we're here is our schedule is past the original 6/30/2021 end date. We're currently requesting an end date change request to 12/31/2021. So that is why our schedule is red. Our scope is still listed as green from our objective criteria for the Department of Child Safety. Our green criteria for scope is measured that we have clearly defined and documented approved the scope, which we do have for the reports and the child's decommissioning, and that all of our risks and issues are clearly documented with mitigation plans. So that is why our scope is currently still green. Budget is green. As with everything with this change request, we're not requesting any additional funds, and that's because the remaining scope of work is being completed on a firm fixed price contract, as well as with internal resources. Our risks are well documented within our system, and those are always included within our monthly updates to DOA. And while there are issues documented on the program, those are yellow just because the issues that we have, while they are being tracked in the system and currently have plans to mitigate them and resolve them, we do, our health shows us that it is yellow. So as stated before by Jacob through the introduction, there's the two pieces of scope remaining is the 72 reports and child's decommissioning. Next okay. slide. Yes.
Okay, I just want to ask a question before we leave that slide so I don't have to drag you back later. relative to, and I think you were providing an explanation about why you labeled the scope green. And what I heard you explain, and tell me if I'm summarizing this correctly, is because you feel that you're saying the scope is fully defined and that the scope has not changed, that it is green.
That is correct.
Is that the basis for that? Okay, because
yeah.
On the surface, I would raise my hand and say, I probably have a different definition of that, in that the scope is not fully delivered because the reports would be in scope. Child's decommissioning was in scope for the project. But, so that I just had a different view of looking at that.
You know, Mr. Chairman, that's a really great point and very valid. When DCS established from the PMO standards, what would the green, yellow, red criteria, the definition that was approved for it, just slightly different. Okay. And that is why we measure this in green, and why it's still been reporting, since it is well defined, and the plan to get to done is also very well defined. It's just the schedule is delayed due to some of the reasons we'll go in on some of the other slides of why we're requesting the end date change.
All right, thanks for addressing that. Rebecca, you had a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, James. And welcome everyone who's joining us that's new. I just had a question to make sure I understood what you said about the budget being green. You mentioned that it's a firm fixed contract and the rest of the scope is being completed with internal resources. I wonder if you could further define what you meant by that, when it comes to budget internal resources, are people working on this and it's taking them away? Like, or is there funding going out to a different vendor or something? Can you just talk about what you meant by that a little bit?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Rebecca, pleasure to see you. So a little clarification. All of the reports is on a firm fixed price contract. So that right there, whether additional time is needed or resources, the vendor that is completing that is on firm fixed price. So there is no expected increase of costs going along with the delay in reports. Child's decommissioning a little while back throughout the program shows a budget of zero, as the resource allocation is using FTE resources, not contracted resources or vendor allocated resources. So following within the PIDGE guidelines, those were set to zero since they're internal resources and their time and resource allocation is adjusted accordingly.
Thank you.
All right, next slide, please. Okay, so the project updates. So currently these are all showing red for reporting and for child's decommissioning. Once the change request is approved, this is expected to show either show us back on track and on green as we track to the new end date. So next slide. So real quick, from a historical purposes, a lot of James, movement
sorry,
has.
Can I interrupt you for a second? I'm sorry, Mr. Cleveland, you raised your hand.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Dean, and you may have touched this and I may have missed this. The end date of December 31st, 21, are you confident in that? There's only about 70 working days until December 31st. It may be 72 and it may be 69. So, but there's about 70 working days left with the holidays and all that. Are you confident with this 12/31? Or are we going to have to come back with another extension?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleetum, great question. The current project plan has reports ending. I believe in about two slides, you'll see the burn down for it, which is scheduled right now for around early November. And for child's decommissioning, there's one more group of artifacts that needs to be transferred out of the old legacy system before child's decommissioning can truly complete. And that is also showing, the current project schedule for that is showing a completion of early November. So being a little bit more proactive in the end date, we are requesting the end of the fiscal year for a couple of reasons. One, having a little bit of program reserve from a schedule standpoint so that we don't have to go through this again is seems smart on DCS's behalf. And at the same time, it'll allow some of the final costs to trickle in as those invoices are received, and then we process those through the end of November and December in order to complete the project on time.
Thank you.
Welcome. All right, heading back to this slide. So while we are still continuing 1A and 2B reports development, 2A reports, which are all three of those are included in the 72 continuous requirements validation. The CCSRA migration did complete, as well as the CSRA document migration or artifact completion completed. The 2C development is completed. If for any up-to-date information, I'll let Matt speak to that just so that we know specifically where we are when it comes to those document migrations. And those are the three types that are absolutely required before the system is decommissioned.
Those are on track to finish on time. We did find an issue with some of our original imports from February, only associated to a person, and we will be running a script to change that to associate with all persons that are associated with those documents. On that'll take us a few more weeks to do, but still finishing on time.
Thank you, Matt. And then for the summary, focus of areas are very consistent, including the end date change requests, which we will get into in another slide or two. So next slide, please. Okay, so this is the latest reports burn down. The last few informational updates, the gray bar, which is that baseline burn down, was showing up until October. And as even though velocity has increased in completing reports and getting those through, it was not enough to be achievable within that October. So it has been updated to that early November timeline. So that is what the program is marching towards. So while the red line of the actuals and the gray is still a little bit further apart than I'm sure everybody would like, there's been a lot of increase in moving reports through the development all the way up until business validation, including, so now there are 16 reports that are in business accepted. So that's an additional 6 from the previous month. There's another 6 that are out for business validation. 13 are out for testing. So that's a good chunk that'll be moved to business validation, providing testing goes well. And then there's 3 that have been developed and completed and are ready to go into testing. And the mappings are done, and the majority of the rest of the reports are all modeled. The team has been increased to include quite a bit of resources so that this can be tackled as quickly as possible and increase that velocity to achieve that new November timeframe. And we are tracking risks and issues accordingly to ensure that that is still achievable. And during our regular monthly updates, we'll keep you informed, as well as that trend and that burn down.
So, James, do you have a date where you are targeting to get back in alignment with the target on the burn down?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lang, that's a great question. I will have to defer back to the PM on that one, and I can get you that. I know that there is a forecasted burn down, so I need to go pull that in to get you the right date.
Yeah, kind of same question, James, which is, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but on your current trend, you're not going to make it, even with your new forecasted date. So unless something has changed that is really going to accelerate the existing velocity, we'll be talking about this in December. I don't know. I know it's stating the obvious, but I suppose we'll see in October when you come and talk and see what effect is any changes that you have or are having.
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. We will be tracking this, and we do track this burn down on a weekly basis. So we'll see as that trend continues, and we'll reach out and provide some information back under separate cover so that you can see what the projected line for when they get back on track is.
Yeah, I want to thank you for putting this together. I know I asked for it for a while, but it's doing exactly what I hoped it would, which is it shows us where we are.
Absolutely. Next slide, please. All right, so for child decommissioning, I know we touched on this. So as of 8:30, when this was created and submitted, the development was complete and testing is upcoming, and Matt provided some updates on that. And then there are remaining migrations planned coming in the future as well, especially two very large artifact migrations and totaling of about 6 million records and artifacts. Those that are remaining are not required in order for CHILDS to be decommissioned. So they'll still be done and complete and done within the end of the calendar year, but they are not impacting our ability to get off the DES mainframe so that they can start working on their upgrades. So that's why the CCSRA, CSRA, and the IAC are the first three being completed. Next slide. All right, so from the project change request, so the request is just an extension from 6:30 to 12:31. That will allow us to go from red back to green from a schedule perspective. The program did go live February 1st, 2021. A few decisions were made during that time. So during the go live review, it was decided to deploy the solution and then have the report scope be completed at a later time. That was originally planned to be complete by the end of last fiscal year, June 30th. It just did not occur. And there were a lot of impacts from not only the global pandemic, which impacted the resources on several occasions, and just the complexity of the reporting. All of those had a very large impact on the ability to complete by June, which is now why the projected date is out into November. The CHILDS legacy system that was always planned to be decommissioned after go live, the document migration impacts and development, the complexities of that and getting that completed, unfortunately all just took longer than was originally planned. And that now is also planned for the beginning of November to complete out CHILDS decommissioning and that piece of scope for the project. With those in mind, it's still the remaining scope, but that's why we're coming for the June 30th to the December 31st request for extension. And I think there's one more slide on post this one. So from a risks and issue standpoint, while there are no large overlying issues that will keep us from achieving that end date, we are always tracking resource management for reporting. And from a CHILDS decommissioning standpoint, it's really a low, medium probability and impact from the time it takes to migrate documents, especially since the ones that are required, it's not a vast amount of documents. And there is already two out of the three are complete, minus the miscellaneous artifacts that Matt was talking about before, which are already being worked to be migrated over. So those are both very low probability and low impact at the present moment. So I think that was it from a project change request. For anyone who is interested, there's more detailed information in the appendix for anyone who wants to read a more detailed overview of the impacts that have happened. I just summarized that just for expediency. And if there's any other questions, please let us know.
All right, if that's the last slide, then we'll turn it over to the committee for any questions. All right, if there are questions, I'll turn it back to you, Jake. Unmute yourself.
Whoop. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. ASSET is recommending that the change request be approved with the following condition. Should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology scope of work or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the page to reflect the changes and submit it to ADOA Asset and ITAC for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds.
Okay, I think we're trying to get the voting slide up. Hopefully folks remember what that is. Any questions on those conditions? If not, I'll entertain a motion with regard to the change request. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the project extension date be approved with the conditions stated by staff.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Romer. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Noted. Thank you, Mr. Simpson. All right. The motion carries by majority. UCSUR approved to go ahead and move ahead with the change request. We'll look forward to talking to you in October and see what the progress is.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much. We'll see you next month.
Thank you. All right. We are now into our informational updates. And first up is Supreme Court.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Kaylee Greenberg. I am an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Arizona Supreme Court. The team will introduce themselves now and provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their appellate court case management solution.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, hello, I'm Diana Heggie. I am the project manager for this project. I have some distinguished guests with me today. I have Vice Chief Justice Timmer. I have Justice Montgomery. I have Court of Appeals Judge Swan. I have our CIO, Carl Heckert, with us. In addition to that, I have our JTI team members with us. I have Danny Hemnani, who is the Vice President with JTI. I have Chris Forsland, who is a Director of Implementations, and I have project director and newly assigned to our project. Jason and Danny are here with us today. Maybe they'll just introduce themselves, and I'll also ask Judge Swan and Justice Timmer to introduce themselves. Swan, do you want to go first?
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity to appear. My name is Peter Swan, and I am the former chief judge of the Arizona Court of Appeals Division One, now a line judge, but still tasked with overseeing this project from the Court of Appeals standpoint.
Justice Timmer.
Good afternoon. I'm Ann Timmer. I'm the Vice Chief Justice of the Arizona Supreme Court, and I am chairing the effort from the court side on implementing the new case management system.
My name is Carl Heckert. I'm the CIO for the Arizona Supreme Court.
And now maybe from JTI's side, we have Danny Hemnani, President, and he's here with us today.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Danny Hemnani from Journal Technologies, and I'm joined by Chris Forsman, who's online, and Jason Barrick, who's with me right here. Jason, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, good afternoon. Mr. Chairman and committee members, thanks for having us today. My name is Jason Baddock. I'm a project manager with Journal Technology, and I'm happy to be part of the team. I've been implementing case management systems for 26 years now, so I'm excited to be working, collaborating on getting into production.
Chris, did you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Chris Forsland. I'm the Director of Court Implementations for Journal Technologies.
Thank you. Justice Montgomery? Maybe Justice Montgomery dropped off. So thank you. That's our team today. can go into the next slide. Thank you again, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, to have us here today. We're here to give a project update and for information, and just a reminder that our project is replacing a legacy system that's 20 years old, a vendor supported technology. And we're returning for an informational update because we, our project is red, and we're working hard with our vendor to get the project back on a schedule that's suitable for us, and working also to control the scope. So those are the, that's really kind of the, where we're at today. Since the last time we met in August, we've been working closely with the vendor, and they've increased resources, so our velocity will start to increase this project. And, you know, we have met to discuss our next steps, and Jason really has our next steps lined out for us. And I think all of that will help us ensure that this project moves forward in a productive way, knowing that we have made substantial progress. We just haven't made it fast as we had hoped. I almost feel like the committee might be hearing the same words over and over again. You know, it's the pandemic, things are a little more complicated. And so that's sort of where we are today. Next slide. So this is our overall health card, and the schedule is red because we originally anticipated going live in June of 2021. That obviously didn't happen. We're working with our vendor now to finalize and revise the timeline. We're still finalizing whether there's going to be a possible financial impact, and we should know more about that in October. You know, in terms of risk and issues, we've worked closely with the vendor in the last few weeks to try to have more resources assigned to our project, and to you know, make sure that the artifacts that we're providing to the vendor are understandable, so that we can turn over information to them in such a way that doesn't delay the project any longer. Then, you know, I also just wanted to say that if this requires us to have a new contract, that we may or may not be able to get a new contract signed by the October meeting. And I just wanted to bring that up as a, you know, possible issue, especially in light of the fact that we need to have that back to the committee in early October. So sometimes like 2 weeks may not be enough time for our and the vendor to come with a new contract. Next slide.
And Diana, I may interject on this particular one. From a JTI perspective, the budget is fixed, it's firm, so there will be no additional increases on our side. So we're working on finalizing the scope and aligning that with the timeline. We have increased allocation of the current resources, and then we've supplemented that team on our side with myself, as well as other industry experts to supplement the team and help increase the velocity in terms of delivery.
This might be a time for Jason to talk a little more about the next steps and what we've been working on to turn this project green again.
Okay, Diana, before we step into that, I want to give Mr. Fleeton the opportunity to speak. He raised his hand.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman. And I think it's Diana, you're hard to understand. I don't know if it's your directional microphone, and maybe I'm not the only one, but one thing I've noticed here, you're past your current end date, you're saying is 6/30/21. I think if I've got this right in my notes, the last month you changed the end date to October 31st, 2022, right?
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Fleon, that is correct. When we return in next month, we hope to tell you that our new go live date will be October 2022.
Yeah. So Director Fleegan, they have not submitted their change request yet. They're providing us an update on their status. And I think the item is that I think we're looking to hear today is the progress has been made in the relationship between administrative office of the courts and the vendor. I'm hoping to hear a bit more about how close we are to the court seeing a revised timeline that would meet their needs.
So I want to make sure that I have this right, because I may have missed something for not being able to hear right. You had a vendor that stopped the program and moved everybody back to Australia and took all the resources that were working on your project and reassigned them to some other project that they had. Is that correct?
Jason, you want to answer?
The vendor is here and they'll address that.
So, yes. In other words, so there was a project vendor that an agreement was with that they reassigned all their resources that were set to work with the Arizona State Supreme Court, and they reassigned them to another project. Is that correct?
Yeah, so this is Jason Batt again.
No, that's correct, right?
No, not exactly. So this is Jason Batt, the new project director. So we did have some turnover in terms of resources due to the pandemic, but the project team really has been kept intact. What we're doing at this point, though, is adding additional resources to the team to provide some schedule assurances and allow us to really accelerate towards go live. And I think the other key thing is continuity. So we did have some resources that have responsibilities outside of this project, and we're looking to keep that continuity moving forward so that we don't lose any of that knowledge as we proceed.
Okay, so we can rest assured that the assigned resources are going to stick with the project that was contracted for in the first place. Is that correct?
That is correct, and we'll continue to augment those. You have our commitment from a general technologies perspective here in the room today, you know, with Danny and Chris and myself.
And I may be a little bit, pardon me, I'm a little concerned about this, but one would assume that when we originally signed the contract, that we were given assurances that the project would move forward with the resources assigned. And they weren't, but now we're supposed to be comforted with the fact that now the position is that we really, really have those resources assigned. Is that correct?
Well, let me answer that. This is Danny Hamnani, Mr. Chairman. When we signed the contract, we assigned a team to the Arizona Supreme Court project, and we had a contract in Australia, and I think we moved only one resource from the Arizona Supreme Court project to Australia. It was not like we moved an entire team from Arizona Supreme Court and put it in Australia. That's not the case. It is one resource, one person out of the entire team that moved to Australia. And then, unfortunately, the pandemic hit, and because of COVID, there were some resource changes within our organization, which impacted the project, we acknowledge. Since then, we have restructured within our company, and we also do recognize that this is a very important project for our company. So we've assigned a dedicated team now for this project to make sure that this project goes through. And we've assigned some of our senior resources, including the person who had left the project and went to Australia, is back from Australia and is assigned back to this project.
Okay. Well, thank you. But I want to make sure that you understand that the project is even more important to the citizens of the state of Arizona than it is to your company. So that's definitely what the real critical thing is here. The citizens' state tax dollars are the thing that's most important. So, and everybody's had COVID problems, and I understand that. But absent the COVID, we just need to be reassured. I need to be reassured on something like this, that this is not going to be something that we experience through the entire project.
Definitely.
Agreed. And I suppose to maybe sum things up, there are two things that occurred here. One is, missing a plan date. I don't know. This is like, I'm going to guess it's a 2x miss. We're somewhere between 14 to 16 months beyond the plan date. That's the estimate because we haven't seen a new timeline yet. And so I just want to recognize, like, that's a big miss. And that can't be just one resource got moved and a couple of the resources got distracted. That, that's significant. The other thing is that we got, to June, if not after June, before we're recognizing that we're missing by that large of a factor. And so, those are the two main things that jump out to me in this project. I think we had a good meeting, I feel, with the court's team to talk about communication between asset from an oversight perspective. And I think we have a good path for that going forward. I think the message that I want Journal Technologies to hear is it is time to deliver and demonstrate your commitment. The courts needs to see a firm timeline from you and regular, burn down updates that show that you are meeting or exceeding expectations.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's key to the success moving forward. We met this morning to go through the draft project plan, which is based on the agreed upon scope of work. And then the key performance metrics will be critical moving forward to make sure that we're getting the velocity that we need, that things are, the burn down chart is moving in the right trajectory, and we're all firing on all cylinders.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, do you want to hear more from Jason about some of the steps that JTI is taking to mitigate some of the issues that we faced?
I think that could be interesting. I guess the first question I've got is, how close are you to having the timeline finalized for review by the courts?
So I think we're extremely close. We went through the entire plan this morning and solicited feedback from the key stakeholders. I'll be introducing those updates into the plan the remainder of this week, and then we'll distribute it and do a final walkthrough, cross-referencing it against the remaining scope of work that's also been vetted. So we've been working closely with them on that. I think at a bare minimum, we'd have that draft plan, including the detailed scoping documents, available for review at the next committee meeting.
Okay, I'll open up to the committee members. If you think there's more details you'd be interested in hearing now, I don't want to have the change request meeting here. This is an informational update. But if there's details or questions you have that you'd like to be sure are answered in an upcoming meeting, let's set our expectations with the teams here. All right, if there aren't any further questions, I'd say let's go ahead and move forward to the next slide.
We wanted to provide some milestone updates to let the community know that we have substantially completed case structure. That means we can take a case off the shelf and enter all of the key data elements into the system. We have finished our financial structure, so for when filing fees are charged, we can deal with the filing fees. We have also, the court has also completed the infrastructure to host the data conversion and the software after go live, because we'll host that online. And we've also completed phase one of the data conversion. In progress is really the whole enterprise application that is replacing the current system that serves both the Court of Appeals and the Arizona Supreme Court. It is a case management system for the clerk's offices for both of those courts, for the staff attorneys for both of those courts, and for the chambers for both of those courts. So the judges and the justices both use this system. The things that we're working on now are workflows. Once a case is filed, how to move it through the system so that it can get in front of a panel of judges or justices for a decision. And we're working on orders generating, how to generate orders in the system. And integration, we're working on SharePoint and C2C configuration. The C2C configuration has to do with when a matter is filed in this court, the lower courts have a software that was designed in-house where they can send all the documents and all of the artifacts from the lower court to the Court of Appeals and to the Supreme Court. And then this project also will be integrating with our new e-filing technology. So we're working on the requirement specifications for those integrations. We've also started some training for key stakeholders so that they can become familiar with the software and can actually also just configure lookup lists. The things that we haven't started, of course, is we have not rolled out the new application because we're not ready to do that. And we're in front of you asking for an extension eventually. We have not started the phase two of our data conversion, and we have not started the e-filing and CCR integration configuration. So those are the things that are still included in our scope of work that you'll see in a new project plan in October. Next slide. Now we're ready for more questions and answers, I guess.
Okay, any other questions from the committee on the informational update or any other input you have that you'd like to see addressed in an upcoming change request review? Go ahead, Director Fleeto.
Yes, what I'd like to see when they come back is I'd like to see some dates. I would like to see some drop dead dates and some timelines that are commitments versus just estimates. So I'd like to see that. So that's my point. So that's it.
Thank you, Director Fleeto. Anyone else?
Any vendor performance metrics that they can provide to show progress would be, I think, hugely valuable.
Yeah, I agree, Doug. I was asked the same thing, which is in addition to the dates and timelines that Director Fleeton requested, I want to see performance progress that demonstrates that a trend line that speaks to meeting those committed dates or we're off track. And then you're having conversations around is a countermeasure appropriate? What needs to be done to bring things back on track? We don't want to march to an end date to find that we're missing it again. Any other input? Okay. Thank you very much. I don't think we have Jake. Do you have anything else you have to add here?
Nope, just ready for the next one.
All right, we'll go on to our next informational item, which is an update by the Department of Education on the school finance payment system.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you, courts team. Appreciate your time today. And I know Gerald Technologies, thanks for attending as well.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jacob Crimmins. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Education who will now introduce themselves and provide the committee with an informational update on the overall status of their school finance payment system replacement project.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Chris Richardson, the CIO of the Arizona Department of Education. Thank you, Jacob. The members that I saw at last check, hopefully I didn't miss any, I saw Kate Wright, our Chief of Staff, Lyle Friesen, our subject matter expert and head of school finance, and Nesvig, our leader of the PMO, Karina Jones, the Director of IT Communications and Strategy, and Gene Fletcher, Executive Assistant. So we're here to represent this informational update on the School Finance Payment Systems Project. Next slide, please. So last month to now, we are still on good track. You can see that we have a number of our milestones in good shape. State aid payments were on track. Those that requirements are completed. We even have the ADOC and ADOJC moving into QA ahead of schedule, and our budget AFR requirements are in progress as well. We also have completed the training for the school finance business, internal, external training that was on tap. I will note that in the risks, there are no risks this period. However, we did complete a corrective action. We've indicated that many of those risks have concerns of things later in the phase two scope. We break out what that looks like on slide five here in a little bit. And there is a voting change for next month that we've been partnered with the ADUA team on preparing for that. So more detail to come in the presentation. But for now, next slide, please. This doesn't look great, but this is primarily a factor of all the contractor resources still in play, moving between phase one, which was running well, to phase two, and some personnel changes. If we just didn't completely understand the timing of how all the budget hits to the systems need to be in at a certain time. And so it's really gonna all reconcile back up, but it doesn't look good for July, August, but it's all squared away with OSPB and ADUA, and we feel we've got this understood for going forward. Plus we had some unique invoicing discrepancies in terms of timing from when they were planned. But again, you know, they were off by a month or so. So we'll note that. If people have questions there later when we pause, we can do that, but we think we're on track for that. Next slide, please. This one, I think, just puts things in perspective, again, as we represent phase two. So this is about the monetization of the charter school payments and the school district payments, charter and APOR. All the phase is broken out. I mean, I referenced the majority of it in the update since we're on track to get most of those started. But I think the key piece is the change request that's coming, and I think if on the next slide, we'll dig into what we proposed. So I think it suffices to say we were trying to work with fiscal year constraints, and there was a lot of angst on how things would look. And so with ADUA's partnership, we really just dug into everything that was in scope. And I think the ADE team was really saying, all right, well, we know we can get a huge piece done in the fiscal year, and we'll use phase three as kind of a catch-all for what we don't get to. But we thought, let's do it right the first time, and let's really make sure we have a joint understanding of where our dependencies lay. And so we led a joint review of all that scope. We brought our own ADE consultant close with our own IT organization, our architects, as well as our school finance team, and really deeply understood where the impacts would be on our subject matter experts, and how the load on them to not only do their day job, but also to do the scoping and to do all the QA and testing of everything. There was some serious bottlenecks near the end of this fiscal year. So we walked through those assumptions, and we really kind of spread the load in what we believe will be actually something that will meet the needs here. It really only comes out about 4 months add, and it's about 500K, but it's still right in line of the 3 million that was originally planned for phase two. We were actually tracking budget-wise under. So we should have all the full change in time for the October 20th ITAC report. I think the most important piece about this is it's brought everyone together, and there's a much more common understanding of the prior assumptions that were done with the best knowledge folks had, and now people see where their dependencies and needs hit peripheral and adjacent areas. So I think that's all we have in this informational update, and we can kind of open things up for questions and see what other details needed. Mr. Chairman, do you want to open up for questions? I think that's the end of the prepared information.
All right, folks, any questions on the updates from education? All right, if there are any questions, that's it. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate the update. Good to see continued progress, see things continuing to track, and increased shared understanding.
Thanks for all the proactive suggestions by the team. It's really helped navigate both the financial side and our options. It's been a great partnership this last month.
Excellent. Good to hear that. All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing the change requests that's forthcoming. Okay. With that, I believe that is the last item we had on our agenda today. So we'll maybe jump to the end of our agenda, which I think I can verbalize it here, which is our next meeting is scheduled for October 20th, same time. And we'll call the meeting to a close. Thank you all for your time and attendance today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.